Today begins the holiest week of our entire year. I always use this time, since we do read the Passion again on Good Friday, to, instead of going into the depth of the Passion, especially after a long Passion narrative, really to encourage you to really use this last week well. Maybe you struggled a lot with your Lenten penances. Maybe it fell apart altogether, and now you're like, oh my goodness, I haven't done it and lived a good Lent. Well, we have this last Holy Week left, and the greatest way in which you can honor our Lord for his sacrifice is by really entering into this week above all the other weeks of the entire year. The Church invites you, it does not make mandatory, but invites you to three very powerful days by which to enter into the depth of our Lord's greatest act of love: Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. It actually really highly, highly encourages you to go. And if you think about how the Lord gives us every single second of breath we've ever taken, every single minute we've ever had, an hour, why would we not give back to the Lord, really, who really wants to, in fact, give more to us? The Lord doesn't want us just to come just to worship him, but he wants us to come to receive in that worship a greater blessing. So I like to go into explaining some of the things that happened during Holy Week, and encourage you to come. First, on Monday, which probably most people won't go to, is the gathering of all the priests in the archdiocese with the bishops in our mother church, St. Matthew's Cathedral. This is the cathedral from which actually President Kennedy was buried from, his funeral mass. There we gather in the evening in order to bless all the oils that will be used throughout the year. The old oils will be burned sometime this week, and we have to then use only the new oils that will be blessed by the bishops and all the priests. The oil of catechumen for those preparing for baptism, the oil of the sick, and the oil of chrism, which is used for those to be baptized, for those to be confirmed, for those to be consecrated priests and bishops and kings. On Wednesday, we have the Tenebrae service at St. Mary's Ryken, which is a beautiful service of light and darkness, a service of psalms being sung and chanted. That's an optional thing to go, and there's more information in the bulletin about that. But I especially, more than anything else, want to encourage you to really enter in by coming to Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. These are the three holiest of days, and they all really are meant to go together. So if you miss one, you've really missed out on something very important. Holy Thursday for the Church celebrates two great happenings or gifts that the Lord has given to the universal Church. It celebrates the institution of, or the beginning of, the priesthood itself in service to the holy priestly people of God. And it celebrates also the Eucharist, the Last Supper, that beautiful gift of the Mass, which is at the heart of everything. The Mass starts out very normally, but then what happens is we have 12 come forward who have their feet washed. The priest divests himself of the main vestment. This is called the chasuble. This particular one was a gift from my grandmother before she died. She gave me four these beautiful chasubles made in Rome. But he takes off the chasuble, it's one of the few times he does so, and puts on an apron, as our Lord Jesus Christ did. It's supposed to remind the priest and the people that the priest is a servant to the people of God. And then washes the feet of 12, the 12 symbolizing the apostles, but really all the people of God. And it's supposed to be a reminder to us all that we're all called to service, that all of us as disciples of the Savior of the world are called to be those who spread the message of God's mercy and love. After the washing of the feet, then comes this beautiful, really the prayers, the Eucharistic prayers. There's certain particular prayers only used on Holy Thursday. There are these beautiful prayers that call to mind our Lord's greatest gift to the Church. Remember, the greatest gift to the Church is giving us himself in Holy Communion, that he would take bread and wine and make it into his very body and blood, then that we might receive and our bodies might temporarily become very much a holy temple, though always the temple of the Holy Spirit. We then have we then leave the Eucharist out upon the altar. We don't return it to the tabernacle as we normally would do. The doors of the tabernacle are kept open, and then there's that closing prayer, and then there's an incensation of the Eucharist, and then the Eucharist is taken out in a procession with all the people out into the darkness. Why? Because we're now entering the depth of the celebration of our Lord's going into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so you and I travel to a type of garden What happens is we go to my living room. But it's been transformed by the holy men and women who've worked together to decorate it into a type of garden. There's a number of flowers there. As soon as you walk in, you're kind of hit by this powerful smell of the beautiful flowers that are going to be used at Easter. But now it's supposed to make the room into a type of garden with dim light as the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we sing some hymns, and the Eucharist is left. Some of you might want to, though, first stay in the church, actually, because what happens is this powerful and terrifying ceremony, in a way, where the ministers stay here, a number of the parishioners stay here, and they strip everything away, because the church is meant to be like a tomb. So the tabernacle veil is taken out. The sanctuary candle, which always reminds us of the presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist here, is blown out. All the vigil candles that are used for devotions are blown out. The holy water fonts are emptied out into the ground outside, and therefore empty. There's no holy water anywhere until Easter. All the altars are stripped of their cloths. The carpets are rolled up. All the banners are taken down. And everything is then darkened. And it's the one time of year that this church is locked, because it is like a tomb. Then there's a tradition whereby their people take turns spending time adoring our Lord. Remember how our Lord says, stay, can you not stay 1 hour with me? And so there's encouragement. We have set people who stay all the way to midnight. You can stay as long as you want or as little as you want when you go in, but adoring our Lord, thank you for the gift that he has given us in the Eucharist. There's also another tradition that many follow. Our youth group has been doing for about 10 years, where we travel to visit the Eucharist. It's a Roman tradition in 7 churches. It's also a chance to see what those churches are doing. We're going to get you, St. John's. We're going to get you. So it's neat to say the beautiful decorations, but also to adore our Lord. So the youth group with a number of parents travels to 7 churches around the county. And numbers of other groups or individuals do this too. So it might be something you want to do to adore our Lord, to travel with our Lord, as it were, to these different gardens, and just to spend 5 or 10 or 15 minutes adoring him. Others, of course, like to stay here, which I think is even nicer, to adore our Lord for hours into the darkness, until midnight. At midnight, all chapels of repose, as they're called, must be closed. Everyone is dismissed from it, and the doors are locked. After this Mass of Holy Thursday, there is no Mass allowed to be said anywhere in the world until the Great Easter Vigil. No masses anywhere in the world. It's the one day when no masses may be said. And the Eucharist may only be given to the dying, to those closest to death, as viaticum, food for the journey. On Good Friday, which is normally appropriately raining and dark, at 12 noon, we gather again in this church to pray the Stations of the Cross. If weather permits, we actually do the outdoor Stations of the Cross. I hope that many of you will come to that, to really enter in. If you can't, I encourage you, many of you have iPhones, use your iPhone and pray as a couple or as a family, the Stations of the Cross. Or watch the Passion movie, which is so powerful, one of the versions of it. Then at 7 p.m. at night, on Good Friday evening, we have a service of the Word and the Eucharist. It is not a Mass. Everyone enters this church, which is now stripped of everything, in silence. It's dark. It's somewhat kept dark, but still enough light. The ministers come in and immediately prostrate themselves upon the floor as a sign of humility, as everyone kneels in silence. There's a big emphasis on silence, because that's how we hear the Lord. And after this prostration, he gets up, says the opening prayer, because he does not open like a regular Mass. And then we hear these beautiful readings again, and then we have another Passion, one of the Passion narratives, are read together. There's either a short homily, or sometimes I don't give any homily at all, because it's just enough to meditate so that we sit in silence for a little bit of time. Then we have a minister bring in the covered crucifix, and at one point part of the crucifix is uncovered, symbolizing a witness to our Lord's suffering. And he holds it up and says, "Behold the wood of the cross on which our Savior died." And everyone says, "Come, let us adore him." And this happens 3 times. And then everyone comes up, genuflex, and kisses the cross, a veneration of the very cross of our Savior, the symbolic cross of our Lord. powerful ceremony because it's reminding you of what our Lord did. Remember, greater than all the other acts our Lord did, greater than raising the dead and curing the sick and healing the blind and getting rid of demons, the only act our Lord needed to do in order to save, give us the chance for salvation, was his death on the cross. And so it's very powerful to venerate that cross, or the symbol of that cross. Afterwards, there's a beautiful procession of the Eucharist from the sacristy onto the altar. There's no consecration. We begin with the Our Father, and then a short sign of peace, and then we go immediately into receiving Holy Communion. It's the only time, again, you can receive our Lord that day, unless you're dying. Afterwards, the Eucharist is taken out of the church again, not left inside. And at this point, everything is left, and the ministers say a closing prayer and just leave. And everyone leaves in silence. This week is supposed to be characterized by a lot of silence in our life. Sad, after Mass, you know, really we should talk outside the church, not inside, because the church should be a place where people can pray and hear the voice of God in silence. The only voice that should normally be spoken after or before Mass is the voice of God. And that's why we should be in silence inside the church. The church actually tells us this, but most people don't follow it, sadly. But we really should. We should talk outside, not inside. So the church especially says during Holy Week, there should be silence kept in the church, except for those things that should be spoken. And then what happens after that is we should spend the rest of the, you know, it's a day of fasting when we only have one regular meal and two snacks at most. Or if possible, as some of the young people have done, eat nothing at all, in remembrance of our Savior's fasting and his sacrifice. Then the great Easter Vigil. Now, Holy Saturday is called, I love this title, this is great, get ready, the Mother of All Feast. Literally, that's the name. I think it's awesome. It is the greatest and most important day. If you can't go to any of the Triduum but one, sadly, that's the one you should go to. Easter Sunday is not as powerful or as big as the Easter Vigil. A lot of people don't like to go because they say, oh, Father, it's so long. How many of you have watched a movie that's 2 hours long? How many of you have talked on the phone to a relative or friend for 2 or 3 hours? Can you give that to your Lord? Can you give that to your Lord? Oh, Father, it's so late. It's so late. Take a nap. Take a nap. Sacrifice, people. This is the Lord and Savior, our God who died for us. Why would you not come except for a serious reason, health reason? If you have that, then don't come. But otherwise, why would you miss it? It's only at most here about 2 hours, maybe a little longer. That's the average Mass at St. Peter Claver. In Africa, the Mass often goes 4 or 5 hours. No one complains. They say, I'm here to worship my God who gave me every minute I've ever had. How sad, how weak we are. Why? Because we want comfort. We want comfort more than we want grace. God is offering you the greatest grace in this Mass. And it's the most awesome Mass. How often do you go to Mass and you start outside with a bonfire? A big blazing fire that somebody here is going to have to put out, Joe Spells. Right? This beautiful fire that symbolizes the light of Christ in a dark world. And then not only is the fire there, you get to bless, the fire is blessed. A huge big candle is then blessed with these beautiful prayers only heard once a year, symbolizing the torch, the light of Christ. It's lit from the flame. Then you have to see me try not to catch myself on fire by trying to light the charcoal from this blazing fire. And then all of you get candles. We're actually going to trust you with candles. You actually get candles. And we all have this beautiful procession. This is why it's so important to have a lot of people. A beautiful procession through the darkness around our church into this darkened tomb of a church that's been beautifully decorated at this point, but all the lights are out. And then we get to hear Dr. Bird again sing this beautiful prayer that is only sung once a year called the Exaltet, which goes through salvation history telling of how God has saved his people Israel all the way to your salvation. It's only sung once a year. And then we have these beautiful readings. Yes, it's a number of readings and psalms being sung. The choir has been practicing for weeks to get ready for it. But if you really open yourself to listening, you are drawn into it. Why? Because this is not somebody else's story. It's your story. It's a story of what God sacrificed. All these people, these patriarchs and prophets, they did all these things for your salvation. You should be here to hear it. You should be enthralled by it, inspired by it, moved by it, and rejoicing by it. That's why you need to be here. And we do it all in darkness. And then suddenly, as we get through the Old Testament readings, of a number of which are there, as we get to ready for the epistle for the first time since Holy Thursday, the Gloria sung. And as the Gloria sung, the lights all turn out. You blow out your candles, and the servers are ringing bells, and the tower bells being rung, and everything is joyful. And then comes the blessing of this Easter water, the holy water font. The holiest of water. I'm going to have a big thing of water. And you want to bring stuff to get some of that water. Why? It's the most powerful holy water there is. I know you might not have known this, but there are actually degradations of holy water, or types of holy water that are more powerful against evil than others. And the most powerful, Easter water. So I'm going to get a big vat of it for you. And it's blessed. The Easter candle is taken, actually blessing it. It's dipped inside of it three times with these beautiful prayers. And then that Easter water is then spread to all the holy water fonts for the first time. And candles are lit during the time of the Gloria. So this is very beautiful as the church, what? It's coming alive. The tomb is now made into a piece of paradise. A renewed Garden of Eden. And you are here to receive it. By God's grace, we have three people receiving confirmation. And they're in one entering the church fully. And then after the confirmation, we have the Mass really becomes like a normal Mass, but with beautiful and powerful prayers, many of which are only said on that night. Not even on Sunday, but just that night. And so I want to encourage you to come. I want to encourage you to stretch yourself for Jesus. He stretched himself for you. Can we not do more for him? Can we not really enter more deeply into this week? Let us increase our sacrifices, increase our penances for our own sake and for the sake of the souls we know who are farthest away from him. These are the three holiest and most intense days. These are the best days. They prepare us best for heaven. And the Lord who loves you and desires you and seeks you is calling you. Come, enter into his joy, into his feast, into his life. Amen.